Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, now the real fun begins, because the best music of the day will be right now as I get hour number two.
You do.
Starting with a little Bill Withers.
Can't go wrong with
classic,
this song.
Classic.
At all.
We want to give a shout out to Nurture Gourmet Meals, because as we told you, as part of the new year, we are dedicated to you, the listener, and we're going to try and make a difference in your lives as you guys do in ours. And that is that we're going to start a weight loss challenge for everybody that wants to sign up. You can still sign up. You can call, or you can text us, or you can tweet us and give us your vital stats. We're going to have different categories and trying to do a, like, kind of similar to a Biggest Loser challenge. But in all the weight that's lost, it's all going to be for your benefit health-wise, but also a lot of fun and games with listeners competing against listeners. So as part of that, Nurture Gourmet Meals is probably going to get involved, and they do portion-controlled meals that you can heat up in the microwave in 2 minutes, and they're going to make sure that they make these accessible and work out something so that you guys can get on a plan as part of what we're trying to do. So they brought us some meals today to check them out. Everybody's talking about how delicious they are, so we're going to have those as part of the deal. But we'll get you more details as we get closer to the first of the year, but we're trying to solidify everything so that it's convenient for everybody to have a weigh-in, then get on some programs, also have some fun. Barry and I mentioned maybe meeting at Memorial Park, doing a walk and a run, and doing some other things. So we'll keep you posted, but definitely an opportunity for you guys to start the new year the right way.
Yeah, these Nurture Gourmet Meals look pretty good. I was told the mac and cheese is really good.
Yep.
And then I just saw a chicken Alfredo, and I love chicken Alfredo, so I'd probably try one of those.
See, but chicken Alfredo, you can't just have a portion control. You got to go to town on that.
Yeah, you do. And it's not something you should eat at night, but I don't care. I love me some chicken Alfredo. I can eat chicken Alfredo all day.
Yeah, it to me, I will end up being supersized if I eat chicken Alfredo.
Well, you're so disciplined. Speaking of, did you quit granola too? First, you quit your Starbucks drink.
Well, I cut caffeine out, and I cut all dairy out except for one cheat meal a week. But you can't do the granola in my mind without the yogurt. So if I'm not doing the yogurt, I'm not doing granola.
Oh, that's what it is.
I don't know how you did caffeine in the first place. Never mind granola.
5 days.
Oh, you're not a caffeine person?
I am. I don't know how he did it.
He doesn't know how I quit. Oh. I had a headache for 5 straight days.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, I get the granola part. I didn't realize it was because of the yogurt part. Yeah. But, I mean, you're so disciplined, though. You can't just quit everything. But you go to town. You say you have your cheat days.
My cheat meals on Saturday or Sunday with the wife. Last week, she included a 7-layer chocolate cake that was devastatingly good.
Yeah.
So
I'd go to town on that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so you created this monster, and people are still lining up. So let's get our loyal listeners
in here.
Even NASCAR Johnny.
He got one, yeah.
All right, Johnny, what do you got?
Okay, so one of my real good friends in high school, her name was Renee. She was marrying this guy that no one really liked. Anyway, long story short, they're supposed to get married on Saturday. On Thursday, they got in a fight. He punched the window just to kind of, you know, show how tough he was. He ended up severing a major tendon, had to go to the hospital, had to get a vein cut from his thigh and reattached to his arm so he wouldn't lose his arm. And he was in a wheelchair for 2 months. And they ended up not getting married because of that. Go figure. So
wow.
I'll let y'all talk about that.
Yikes.
Yeah. That's
sounds
a
like
temper.
A lot of people were happy about that. They didn't want the marriage to go
but
through
the fact
the
that he had to get a vein taken from his leg, and then, oh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
No doubt about it.
That's gory
as well. All right, let's get Chris in here as well. Chris,
what up,
you
Chris?
Got?
All right, so I was walking out of my dad's house, and my little brother opened up the laundry room door, which was outside. We lived out in the country, so it wasn't connected for some crazy reason. And I walked into the door, and it hit the side of my head, and I had to, it was, I want to say it was like 16 stitches across the side of my head. I had to get to close up the hole.
Oh man.
God. I hate it when people say that, like 18, like, you know, when it's anything above like 3 or 4 stitches to me is like insane. Like, oh my God, how big is that cut? Now I've had that before, but I just, when they start saying, oh, I had 18 stitches, this many staples, it's like, God, that's rough.
Yeah, if you get a staple, especially in your gourd, that can't feel good because, like I said, like the halo thing.
Yeah, like, that sounds serious.
Think about where the screws of the halo or the staples are going in your head. They're going into your dome piece.
Yeah, I want that general anesthesia, that stuff where you need support to breathe. Like, I want to be completely out.
I want to say, I'm trying to remember his name now, but there was a kid that played for, like, Michigan basketball and got hurt so severely that he would sit on the bench, but he had the full-blown. Now, if you've seen the halo now, it's a circle that goes around your head, and there's 4 brackets that, like, hold the halo in place, and then the screws go into your head. I did not need to see that every time they did do a bench shot, and he was sitting on the bench with the halo with the screws in his dome.
You just hope people – you just hope they're okay from that. That's just crazy.
Yeah, that's the only good thing is you can hope that having survived that and what it feels like and what the screws must feel like,
yeah,
that at some point you get back to real life.
Here's a text from the 936. Was tubing in Lake Livingston, which is a lot of fun. Tube flipped when I hit the water. My knee hit my eyebrow. Took 18 stitches. Again, with these 18 and 19 and 20 stitches.
Jeez.
That's Ben, we got some.
So he kneed himself in the eye?
Yeah.
Yikes. Wow. Yeah,
there's... And in the sports world, some of these ones that I'm looking at again, there's just some bizarre.
I did get one about James Harden, and I probably should know this, but I don't. The text, he's probably being dumb, but he said he headbutted, James Harden headbutted Meta World Peace's elbow or something like that. Or did he, like, catch an elbow from Meta World Peace and he had to get, like, stitches? Or did I miss something?
I don't remember that. I know that outfielder Brett Barbary once made himself a dripping plate of nachos with the works, including salsa and jalapenos. And after preparing it, he did not wash his hands and put his contact lenses in. And the burning sensation was so bad he missed a game.
Oh,
not good, right?
Amari Stoudemire, did he do something? He punched the glass in a fire extinguisher and he missed the playoffs because of it?
A lot of guys have done the punching thing. But there are worse injuries I know of that we're missing. I know that John Smoltz once was ironing his clothes in a hotel room and missed the shirt, ironed his hand, crisped it up pretty good, had to miss some time.
All right, I don't even know if I should read this one on the air. This is pretty, I just got a really disgusting text from the 601, by the way, which I have no idea where that is. Growing up, I had a youth pastor that lost his manhood as a teenager while trying to show how high he could jump by jumping a cattle fence.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That barbed wire can do damage.
That's probably the worst injury, right?
Oh, man.
That's got to be. You lost
Clayton's
your manhood.
Up there. But, yeah, I think that would make
Clayton
top Clayton's.
Is up there. That's right. 8-hour emergency surgery. But still, he lost his manhood, man.
601 is Mississippi,
it's
by
over.
The way.
Wow.
Yeah. I have to stop and pause, too. But now, I wanted to be fair to our listeners.
This is weird. It says Ken Griffey Jr. became a soprano. It says amid a legendary yet injury-filled career was one humorous memory that gives us all a painful feeling. At first, it seemed like an innocent abdominal injury for the talented slugger, but the Hall of Famer says, we'll just let Jr. tell it best. The best way I can describe it, it felt like somebody bungee jumped off my right nut. Jeez, that'll
graphic though.
Yeah, that'll give you a memory to go fall back on. All right, so we've got a lot of the injuries are still coming in, crazy injuries, so we can get to that. Again,
keep them coming though. If you have a crazy injury, 713-780-3776.
John McMullen, 2:30 to talk a little football. Eric Pincus, 3:30 to talk a little basketball. In between, it's all you. So if you guys want to get on the show, please feel free to do so. 713-780-3776.
We're born cursing. Did you see that? She's blaming it on Saltgrass.
Wow.
She's in here yawning.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you're departing us for good on Friday and you don't have to get out right away, you can just lounge in the studio.
Yeah, like I feel full too from the Saltgrass, but I'm not yawning. I've got to work. Oh, that's right. She doesn't care. She's on her way out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Short timer. Benedict Arnold, so to speak. All right. We'll be back with Benedict Arnold, Nick, Jose and myself, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Never can stay goodbye.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's done for the year, so that means that Nick is here.
That's taking some time off.
Oh, he is?
Well-deserved time off, as you put it.
Oh, I just thought he was done for the year.
He's done for the year.
Man, I hate when people say that, though. I got guys that normally play on my basketball.
You've been saying that a lot lately. Like, I hate when people say that, but he's done for the year.
Guys, on my Saturday basketball game. Hey, I'll see you guys next year.
What?
Oh, I'm out for the holidays. Nah. Okay, douche. We get it, right? By the way, Joel Zumaya, relief pitcher for the Tigers back in 2006, missed the entire American League Championship Series because he got addicted to his kid's Guitar Hero video game and had a sore wrist. Couldn't pitch.
The whole... Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How about Ken Caminiti broke his back falling out of a deer stand? Is that true?
I don't know. How about Trevor Bauer recently? Trevor Bauer, a couple years ago for the Indians, couldn't pitch in the playoffs or pitched miserably in the playoffs because he decided it would be fun to play with his drone right before he got a start, and the propeller from the drone ripped his finger open.
Oh.
Just stupidity, man.
There's a lot of really bad finger injuries, dude, like... Where, like, people literally getting their fingers basically torn off their hand. It's pretty bad.
No question
about it. Here's a couple on the text from the 281. I was 10, broke my leg on a bike, spent 6 months in a cast, 4 weeks out of it, broke my leg again, compound fracture. That is Ryan from the 281. Compound fractures are not fun.
No.
Nobody wants a compound fracture. I'll settle for just one.
Yeah. Multiples is always worse, right?
Yeah.
In this case. Multiples if you find money.
Playing rugby in college, I fractured my left orbital bone around eye, in parentheses for those who don't know, had to put a metal plate for reconstruction. I didn't know orbital bone injuries required metal plates.
Well, I mean,
I knew they were serious.
That's kind of a detailed bone, right? I mean, that's a...
I'd be freaked out about that. Around the eye, that would freak me out.
How about ex-Astro Moises Alou fell off a treadmill, tore his ACL, right? So he was rehabilitating the injury, and while doing so, he ran over his kid riding his bike. The kid was unharmed, but he destroyed his knee again and would miss the entire 1999 season. How do you run your kid over with a bike?
And how does that tear your knee up?
Well, I assume he fell when he ran over the kid.
I would have described
that. They were both on bikes?
I wasn't there. I'm so confused. I mean, I'm not a member of the Alou family. I'm just reading what
Because if he's driving the car.
I mean,
I'm so
no, not
confused.
A car. He was on a bike.
Oh, he was. I thought his kid was on the bike.
He ran over his kid, who I assume maybe was on another bike.
Okay. I thought he was I thought he was in his car.
Yeah, I mean, that's still a freak injury. That's still weird regardless.
No doubt about it. And of course, the one that I think I've told you guys before, but in all the years of playing City League for me, the guys used to give me a hard time because I didn't go out drinking after the games. So one night I decided to go out with them to have a beer with them. They brought a whole tray of beer. And so I grabbed a bottle of beer and I was talking to some of my friends. Someone comes up from behind at the bar and says, JB, I haven't seen you in a while. Gives me a bear hug and comes from behind and pops their hand up as they're bear hugging me. Hits the bottom of the bottle, hits the middle of my teeth. And I turned to the guy next to me and said, please tell me what's on my tongue as part of the beer bottle. And he goes, no, that's pretty much half your tooth.
Your tooth. Oh.
So I lost half my tooth in that little fiasco.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, not good. All right. Mike wants to get in here real quick on a story. What's up, Mike?
How you guys doing? All right. So I was a kid. Like, I was about, like, 6 years old. And I was on the A part, that you know, the A frame of a swing set, like at a home swing set.
Yes.
Yeah. So that wasn't set in the ground, so it my brother was swinging. It lifted off the ground. I lifted a bush, and when it came down, my foot wasn't on the A-frame. So the back part of my thigh got caught by a bolt and ripped my thigh open. Mm. I had 164 stitches.
That's the new record for today's show. 164 stitches. Woo!
It was nice. Crazy, man. Like, I was trying to put it back, and it was like larger than my hand. You know, it was crazy.
So when you get 164 stitches, do you have to go back and get the? Are they the ones that dissolve, or are they the ones where you have to like go back to the doctor and they have to like rip them out?
Yeah. So there were stitches inside, so those ones were dissolvable, and then I had to go back and get the ones on the outside taken out.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Not good. Mike, appreciate the call, man. That is 164 stitches, no matter how you slice it. No pun intended. That can't feel good.
Oh, no.
That cannot feel good.
Yeah, now I'm starting to get groin ones, and I can't even
read
it.
Right down your alley, buddy.
I can't even read some of them. You could probably do a better job. I flagged them if you want to.
So is Mike's our new top one now?
I don't know. I think the don't.
Clayton's
staples just, and the dome piece.
And then the manhood is up there only because it's manhood.
That's
right?
Our top three for sure.
That's top
right?
Five. Okay.
No, those three are our top three, right?
Yeah, that's it. I think that's fair to say.
Jose, you can probably relate to this, but we had a texter that said, does it count if you caught gonorrhea and chlamydia and that caused you to have a skin rash?
I don't know how I would relate to it, but I don't know if this counts.
I just threw it out there, man. I just threw it out there, you know? I don't know. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit of basketball and football as we head down the line. Your Rockets are in action again tonight, taking on the Lakers.
They're going for 15 in a row. I tweeted out the other day. I'm like, all right, Rockets won 13 in a row. They're like, nah, bro, it's 14. Yeah. I lost count, dude.
Heading for 15. Lakers are – here's the thing. A lot of people were being critical of the Lakers. And I've said this before. They got a lot of good young talent now.
I think we both said that about that team. Yeah,
but the problem is – first of all, Lonzo Ball for the second pick in the draft is not even close to warranting even being a lottery pick right now. But, you know, obviously there may be potential. There's potential for him to get better. But this Kyle Kuzma kid is no joke. And the fact that you got a guy from last year in Larry Nance Jr., but they're very similar players. That's when I think Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, and his staff can start looking to try and make a deal because they have some repetitive players. Like, if you're going to give the reins to Lonzo Ball, that's fine. But you have Jordan Clarkson, who a lot of teams are very high on, and a lot of people think he should be starting for the Lakers, regardless of who Lonzo Ball is. So they're kind of, you know, there's some leeway there if you're going to keep Ball. Julius Randle is a guy that's been rumored whether he'll stay or go, but there's a lot of teams that think that he could help them. So whether they're all resources that can get you other players, or they're just putting together the pieces, finally, they're not the Knicks. Finally, they're showing signs of life, and they've got some good young talent.
Well, I think with Magic Johnson at the helm, that's certainly going to fix that. But you look at who they've been facing. I mean, they got the Warriors, who they just lost to in overtime by two. Then they got the Rockets tonight. Then they go back to Golden State on Friday, right? Then they're coming back. They're going to play the Trailblazers, T-Wolves, Grizzlies, and Clippers. So it gets a little bit easier. But they just played the Warriors. And they're playing the Rockets, and they're going back to play the Warriors. So they're having a tough stretch here in terms of their schedule. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential. We always talk about the Kuzma kid. I mean, I've been watching him.
Man, he's
talented. I probably watched maybe four or five games of him playing. He's legit. Larry Nance Jr., the only reason why I like him is he's a guy that could potentially fit in the Rockets system. Mm-hmm. He's got that intensity to him. You know what I mean?
He's athletic for his size. He gets off the floor. If you saw him punch it on Kevin Durant the other day, the way he hung in the air and posterized KD, for a guy his size, he can fly.
Yeah. And then Lonzo Ball, there's still some potential there, regardless of what people say. And then, of course, Brandon Ingram. I mean,
Ingram, you know, look, I'd get him an easy tag to a drive-through window and make him eat like six meals a day until he put on some weight. But he's super talented. You know, the knock on Julius Randle coming out was he was already as good as he was ever going to be. He wasn't going to get any better because he was a little older. And that's kind of lived up to be true so far, but still a decent player in the league that I think has value. But, you know, 25-letter alphabet for Lonzo Ball. If he doesn't find a J, he's going to, you know, people are going to know how to defense him. Just lay off of him, play for the pass and play for the drive, and I don't know how good he's going to get.
Don't be surprised if Lonzo Ball maybe not necessarily has the best game, But don't be surprised if he puts up 15, 16, 17 points against the Rockets.
Well, I would. He'd have to make shots then, unless he got all layups.
Yeah, well, I mean, because he'll do that. He'll have a 15-point, 10-assist game all day.
He has, what, 2 triple-doubles this year?
Yeah.
But I believe someone here on this dais has picked him to be the Rookie of the Year.
Was that me?
I think that was you.
Yeah, that was me. It's probably not going to happen.
We'll probably page right over that for now. All right, so we've got more on the horizon, halfway point of the show. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more, including the next guest up, which is John McMullen of ESPN 97.3, who covers the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll talk to him about the Eagles and NFL next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects after the halftime break. We've got 90 in the rear view and 90 still to go in the big show. It's Jose in for Nick, Nick in for Barry, and me, still me. That's the way we do things around here on the holidays.
That's right.
So we talked a little baseball early.
We did.
And with Ben Ryder, the man who picked the Astros to win it all and was right. Now he's picked them to repeat. And now we're going to talk a little football with none other than John McMullen. John is JF McMullen on Twitter, but he follows the Philadelphia Eagles. He writes and knows about the NFL, and we appreciate him spending some time with us. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Did you get all your Christmas shopping done? Because I know you were kind of held down on Saturday.
Yeah, I never. You could say that. You could ask me that any year. I'm one of those last-minute people. So self-inflicted wounds.
We were speaking of those earlier, John, and you don't want to know.
Because there's a lack of preparation.
You don't want to know some of the self-inflicted wounds we've heard from people today as we've asked for bizarre sports injuries. You're probably lucky that you're an hour into the show, because otherwise you might be grossed out with some of the things that our loyal listeners have brought to the table. But with that, speaking of injuries, you know more than most about what's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Fly Eagles movement was flying very high until one said quarterback got hurt and Nick Foles stepped in. But I went out on this very program and said it would not surprise me if the Eagles still were able to win the NFC simply because of the fact they have an experienced quarterback, they've got a solid defense, and they've got skilled position players along with a solid offensive line. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's still optimism, certainly from inside the building. I think the fan base was a little taken aback and obviously sort of went through the 5 stages of grief after Carson went down, because that's a guy who probably would have been the MVP if the season ends that week. That's the kind of level he was playing at. Many times, let's be honest, it's very, very difficult to replace a player like that. But you're right, they have a veteran quarterback. And the larger point is they were 11-2 when Carson went down. They're now 12-2. So they're going to get the number one seed in the NFC. So you only got to win 2 home games. Both of them are going to be in Lincoln Financial Field if you win the first one. So that's where the positivity comes from. If this injury happens week 3 or week 4, we're having a totally different conversation, because there's no way the Eagles get to 11-2, and there's no way they're in this position. But the good news is they don't have to do that. The heavy lifting has been done. All they have to do is finish it, and that becomes at least an attainable goal. Now, if they get to the Super Bowl, that's another conversation. Probably not going to match up well with either the Patriots or Steelers.
John, so we know you're out there covering the Eagles pretty closely, but we always get your take from a national perspective. We're based down here in Houston, and we obviously have a quarterback situation, but we also have a head coaching situation, and it seems as though that Bill O'Brien's seat, is getting warmer by the day. What do you make of the situation from where you're at, and do you think Bill O'Brien is a good coach for Deshaun Watson to play for?
Well, I do. I think he proved that in the short time we saw it. I mean, Deshaun was doing historic things before he went down. And You know, the one thing I'm always concerned about with young quarterbacks is shifting things from their perspective and changing offenses and changing coordinators. I don't think that's a way to go about things. I think what you need to do is sort of put together a quarterback incubator that the particular prospect is comfortable with. You've already seen that Deshaun could be successful in that offense and play at a high level. I don't like the thought of changing that. And then just in general, it's proven all over the league for years and years and years, continuity is a better way to go in the NFL than the opposite. And all you got to do is look at the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Cleveland Browns in the AFC North to prove that thesis.
Now, John, I get that, and especially from a coaching perspective, with all the injuries that the Texans have had to endure, I would be okay with the fact that I'm completely understanding if they brought Bill O'Brien back. But the thing to me is, in the front office, and it starts with Rick Smith, his last two first-round picks have been less than stellar after having a track record of bad drafts in the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds. And then you look at some of the other faux pas, including the Brock Osweiler situation. And to me, regardless of how in deep he is with the ownership group, I got to believe that his day has to be coming as general manager of the Houston Texans.
Well, I'll tell you, I agree with what you said on a number of issues, but let's be honest, if you hit on the quarterback in this league, it forgives a lot of sins for you. And I think they hit on the quarterback. And sort of, we can also look to the Cleveland Browns for that. The way to build a roster in this league is to find the quarterback and to build around him, not the opposite way, which the Browns, and the reason Sashi Brown is gone, because he passed on Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson in back-to-back years. You can't survive that kind of thing. I think the fact that they got the quarterback, you mentioned all the defensive injuries. I mean, how do you survive when your entire defense is built upon having J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus together with Jadeveon Clowney? Two-thirds are gone. I mean, I want to see what happens if there's a healthy Deshaun Watson, if those guys are on the field together. I think that's a playoff-level team.
Okay.
We're speaking with John McMullen here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN97.5.com. Earlier in the month, you wrote a piece on Roger Goodell and how he could potentially make or will make $200 million. What does he need to do to earn that cash? And, you know, what are your thoughts on Goodell getting the extension?
Well, he doesn't have to do much. I mean, this is a league that is generating north of $13 billion now. So as long as it stays status quo, and it's going to move forward when they get the new television contract done, it's even going to make more money. So he's going to see that $200 million. My concern from the owner's perspective, and obviously they don't have the same concerns, is that he has mishandled so many things. So many crises in this league, there's a lack of credibility at the top. So whatever decision is made, and you can pick the scandal, or whatever you want to use as an example, whether it's on-field, Deflategate-type things, whether it's suspensions, player discipline, you always have sort of 50% of the constituency that's upset simply because they're not making the decision. And I think that should be concerning to the owners, but outside Jerry Jones, everybody wants to move forward, and the only reason Jerry didn't is because it affected him personally with Ezekiel Elliott. So his standpoint came from complete hypocrisy, not the fact that he thought Roger was doing a poor job. I don't see how you look at the public relations arm of this league and can say to yourself, hey, we have a good reputation. But, as I wrote in the piece, to me, the owners look at it this way. And the fact that people are criticizing Roger Goodell, they're not criticizing the real power in this league, which is the 32 owners. So they like the fact that he's the lightning rod.
Speaking of those 32 owners, there's going to be an ownership change, it looks like, in Carolina based on what's going on with Mr. Richardson. That's going to be a pretty spendy deal, but how do you see that playing out? Because it seems like, whether you want to believe it or not, the good old boy network of old school owners seems to be, you mentioned Jerry Jones, it seems to me that these guys are going to try and meddle with that as well. But obviously Richardson's going to make a whole lot of money on the sale. But how do you see that going down with the sale of the Carolina Panthers?
Well, it's like when any NFL team gets put up for sale for any reason. I mean, it starts with who has the most money. If you look at it, you can just pick up Forbes and really, if you look at the projected price, it's probably going to be north of $2 billion, maybe over $3 billion. There's very few people in this country that can afford to own an NFL team. There's about 350 billionaires that could do it financially without significant help. And remember, the NFL bylaws say you have to own 30% of the team at least. And really, if you're talking about 30% of $3 billion, that's still significant money. And then you got to raise all the rest of the money. So it's a very finite group, obviously, and you have to love it, because when people say that, this is one of the cliches I hate the most around the NFL, is that they're printing money. Hey, they make a lot of money, but if you're a billionaire, there are easier ways to make money than being an NFL owner. So you have to love it, and you have to have the financial wherewithal, and that eliminates a heck of a lot of people.
Hey, real quick, I want to get back to the Eagles. Imagine a situation. Assume because the consensus out there is that Nick Foles is a really good backup quarterback. So if he does what he's supposed to do, assume, I don't know, if they get close to the Super Bowl or if they even make the Super Bowl, come next season, do you stick with Nick Foles? Isn't it a similar situation to Minnesota with Case Keenum and Terry Bridgewater? Do you go with the momentum, or do you go back to Carson Wentz?
No, there's no controversy here. Nick just talked about it today. I was at the NovaCare complex, and he said this is Carson Wentz's team. When Carson Wentz is medically cleared, he's the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, even if they win Super Bowl 52. That's the significant difference in the skill set between the two players. Nick is a very good backup. The difference between the Vikings situation and the Eagles is, A, Teddy's not as good as Carson Wentz. B, he's coming off a catastrophic knee injury, and nobody knows if he's 100%. So Case Keenum can play himself into the job. He probably has. He's played so well, he probably deserves to be the starter there. Nick knows this is short-term. It's a short-term lease, so to speak. He's being asked to pilot this team through Minneapolis if he can get there. And when he does or doesn't, it goes back to Carson Wentz. He's the face of this franchise.
I'll say this, though, John. I give the Eagles credit, because it's exactly the opposite of what the Texans, the Packers, and other teams have done. They don't want to spend any more money on a backup quarterback. But, boy, when you got a team that's on the cusp of going to compete for a championship, you can see how valuable a good backup, a solid backup is. And look no further than those teams I mentioned. I give the Eagles full credit, because they spend a little extra money, but it's really saved their season in a way by having Nick Foles in the wings waiting to go.
Oh, there's no question. Doug Peterson asked for him. They got him for him. He's very comfortable. And the most important thing from the Eagles standpoint is, usually when you go to a backup quarterback, and everybody sees this, you guys have seen it in Houston, you generally have to scale back your offense dramatically. Doug was with Nick Foles when he was drafted here. He was with him in Kansas City. He knows the entire offense. The Eagles don't have to scale it back. Now, what they're missing is the unscripted stuff. Nick can't create something out of nothing like Carson did, but he can run the entire playbook. If it wasn't for Case Keenum, who really, as I said, is the starter, you'd probably look at Nick Foles and say that's the best backup quarterback in football. And it's one of the few guys that would give you hope. But that's not to say it's going to be easy. The margin of error is much, much smaller with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz.
Good stuff, John. We really appreciate it. We know it's busy and you got a lot going on, but we want to wish you the best for the holidays and a Merry Christmas.
Thanks,
and,
John.
Look forward to having you on the show again in the near future.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Happy holidays.
There you go. John McMullen. If you want to follow him, JF McMullen on Twitter. But definitely a guy that you want to follow if you're into football, and especially the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know we got Eagles fans out there that need someone else to follow so that they can keep up with their Fly Eagles Fly.
Yeah, and he, like I said, he covers everything. So he kind of keeps himself up to date with what's going on in the NFL. On the text line, someone wants your thoughts on one LeVar Ball and the new league that he's promoting or launching.
Yeah, I see that. We can get to that.
So we have a texter that wants your thoughts on that, sir.
Super. We'll get to that after we take a quick break. I got hour number two that's still rolling along with the most outstanding playlist known to mankind for this Wednesday, and you can see it, you can listen to it, you can feel it. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
So take the photographs and cell frames in your mind. Hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Judges a man.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back during hour number two of the big show on a Way Back Wednesday, what we're doing as a farewell to Kirsten, who is leaving us at the end of the week. A songs that say goodbye or farewell prior to 2000. You know the rules. The lists are posted on Twitter if you want to check the ESPN 975 Twitter account.
I did
account.
The first hour. You did the second. Barry will be the third, right?
Write in ballot for the third hour, but Barry actually did write in his own. So we'll allow it, even though he's not
we'll allow it. Us, exactly. We'll allow it.
The commissioner's out, but we'll allow it. Before the break, a 504 shout out to the Louisiana area. They asked the question on Twitter, on text, wanted me to respond to LeVar Ball, who is trying to launch a new basketball league for top-ranked high school players who have graduated from high school, don't want to be part of the one-and-done generation of college hoops. It's going to be called the Junior Basketball Association, fully funded by the Big Baller brand, shocker, where the lowest-paid players will get $3,000 a month, the best-paid players $10,000 a month, NBA rules. He's looking for 80 players, and he wants to fill 10 teams that'll play in L.A., Dallas, Brooklyn, and Atlanta. And my thoughts initially are, this guy's an ass clown, but he actually has a decent idea here. Now, if he thinks the NBA is going to be behind this and help him in any way, shape, or form, he's sadly mistaken, because they're already the ones that are concerned with guys doing the one-and-done thing, and do they need to spend more time in college? And Adam Silver and his crew, I don't think, are going to be very supportive of the idea. But I think for high school kids, especially, here's the tricky part. Here's the fine line, Nick. You're talking about looking for 80 players. Those 80 players, especially if they're all trying to be one-and-dones, the amount of those 80 players that are actually going to get drafted in the first or second round of the NBA, probably less than 20, probably less than 15.
Yeah.
So is it worth it for kids to give up a four-year scholarship at a Division I school to take a shot at making $3,000 to $10,000 a month, hoping to get an opportunity to play? I think you're going to have a real tough time filling your rosters, because I think at least the majority of these kids that are coming out, even though they know that the money might be right around the corner, are not going to tell their kids to pass up an opportunity to start a college education and see what happens going from that point forward.
And I feel like it's a very specific skill set area that you have to be in. Because like, you can't be too good because you wouldn't need them, but if you're not good enough, you probably wouldn't be good enough to play for that league. Look, I think with LeVar, like you mentioned, it is actually kind of a good idea. But when you consider everything, my whole thing is what he said in public. And what people tend to say in public tend to perceive as what you are. And then they tend to think that, you know, are you a dirty person? Would you go behind people's back? And I think that's my whole problem. He hasn't proven himself from a public standpoint. And that's the reason why I'm nervous. You don't want it to be a situation where it's taking advantage of the kids, or they're not really getting the right opportunity or the right platform to develop their game. And who's guilty of that? Isn't it? Weren't you AAU or what is the basketball leagues that are guilty of just really hindering development for basketball?
AAU, without question, is the most detrimental and money cash grubbing sport system out there in any way, shape, or form, and it's really corrupted all of basketball.
That's what I don't want this to be.
But here's the problem. But like I said, so here's the thing. You have to do a one. You have to the way the rules are set up right now. You have to play 1 year somewhere else. A lot of kids are going to Europe. Brandon Jennings was one of them that did that. Went to play for a year elsewhere, then came back and got drafted because they're eligible for the draft then. But of those players that are eligible for the draft, that doesn't mean you're going to get drafted. And he's looking for 80 kids. Of those 80 kids, I'm probably being a little bit more complimentary on the high side than I should be, but I'm saying maybe 15 could get drafted in the first two rounds. Maybe 15. So then you say to yourself, well, what happens to the next 65? They can't go to college now because they've been paid to play basketball. So it's worse than AAU because at least AAU kids can still advance to getting a college scholarship and playing college basketball. These people cannot. These players, once they sign to play in this junior basketball association, their eligibility is over with. They cannot play college ball, and their options are now limited. So to me,
they're probably going to have to go overseas or play somewhere developmentally that way, right?
To try and extend their careers, yes. Yeah, and that's why I think, look, I don't know that this league will ever get off the ground, but if it does, he's going to have a real problem filling out rosters because there's not 80 kids that are going to be NBA prospects to the level where it's worth giving up a four-year opportunity to play college
basketball. It just makes him look like a businessman first. That's the whole problem. Like, if you demonstrate that you – we get you love your kid, your sons, right? You're trying to get them all these big shoe contracts and big endorsement deals. We get that. But now you're delving into a completely different dynamic where – people are going to trust you with their kids, or you're going to have to sell to them what they're going to have to buy what you're selling. And if you're not holding your end of the bargain, you know, you just fear for the kids. But you know,
yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's thinking that a lot of parents are thinking like he does, and I just don't think that's going to be the case. And I think that cooler heads will prevail from the kid's standpoint. The parents are going to lead them down. Hey, you know, my kid could get a 4-year scholarship to UCLA or Arizona. Yeah. Or, you know, all the big-time schools that are out there, Duke, North Carolina. I'd rather take my chances getting some good tutelage from great college coaches playing a big-time schedule and knowing that my kids get an education in the process, whether they get their degree or not, as opposed to taking a shot at a league that probably is as unstable as the footing you're on, thinking that you're going to be one-and-dones and guarantee yourself a draft position. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, we're going to things are going fast here. We already got 2 hours in the books. We got 1 hour left to go to the big show. So we'll open up the phone lines again. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number, or you can hit us on Twitter, and we'll be sure to respond if it's worthy. We'll continue to roll on with 1 hour to go before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz, all right here on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.